Hello and welcome to another Balls to the Wall podcast, Picati's weekly podcast on all things football in Mzansi and beyond.
Palati!
I'm joined today, for the first time in a while, by Tsepo Ntsoelengwe. Welcome back, Tsepo.
Thank you very much, Tuti. Nice to be back.
Did you enjoy your leave?
I did quite enjoy it. I was actually at a warmer place in the northwest, so it was very warm that side. And it's a pity when I come to Joburg now, I'm feeling all of this cold.
Pirates have kept you warm with
the new signings. And we're also joined, as per usual, recently he's been in almost every week, Mr. Sibongiseni Gumbi. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay. Good. Got so much to say. There's so much happening in our football.
Yeah. Let's start with that then. The news coming in last night, I think it caught everyone really a bit by surprise. Molefe Ntseki, who was the head of technical and youth at Kaizer Chiefs, is now the Kaizer Chiefs head coach, replacing Arthur Zwane, who was demoted effectively to assistant coach alongside Dylan Shepherd, a role he's played before many times under different Chiefs head coaches. Chiefs were reportedly in talks with Tunisian Nasreddine Nabi, almost forgot there for a second, who was interviewed by the Sunday Times on the weekend and did tell them he was in talks with Chiefs, but apparently that didn't work out. We had Anam Gorsi in the paper this week suggesting that perhaps him talking to the media wasn't the best idea given what happened to a previous Chiefs coach, previous potential Chiefs coach. I think it was Abdel Amrouche who ended up not getting the job. Similar thing happened to Nabi, but the real bolt from the blue was Molefe Ntseki, who was Bafana Bafana head coach, failed to qualify the team for the Africa Cup of Nations in 2021, although the tournament was played in 2022. Either way, he failed to qualify the team for the Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon. And yet he has what is, depending on who you want to believe, the biggest club coaching job in South African football. Let's face it, Chiefs are the most popular club in the country.
Supported.
So, what did you make of all of this, Mr. Gumbi? Molefe Ntseki, is he the man to finally win a trophy for Kaizer Chiefs? They haven't won one in 8 years and counting.
Yeah, that caught us by surprise. To think that I'd spent so much time learning how to write Nasreddine's name correctly, the spelling of that name, because I thought I was going to be using it a lot of times this season. But it's not happened. And it's a surprise, but I think Ntseki could work out because he has that fatherly figure, about him, personality about him. He has that personality. And he's quite astute in terms of tactics. And you could see with Bafana Bafana the way he wanted them to play. It was just unfortunate that the results were not forthcoming. But I think at a club like Chiefs, especially after what we've heard about Zwane and how he was treating the players because they felt that at times he was a bit too harsh, so they need somebody that's calmer, that's going to, be able to understand them and be a father figure to them. And Ntseki brings that. He has that about him. He uses that. So it could work. I hope that he works out because a lot, I don't think Kaizer Chiefs fans can take another season without anything. He knows as well that he needs to do well with the MTN 8. He needs to start well, and that could give him the time to work his magic on the team. But in terms of the qualifications, he's a well-qualified coach. He has the experience, although it was a junior team. So that's why I think he can understand the players and get them to be better.
Okay, let me put this to you, Tsepo. In today's game, is it enough to be a father figure that the players look up to? When you've got a guy like Rulani Mokoena, who we all know is like an encyclopedia of football, even when he talks like, a well-read man who, and we know the video analysis that Sundowns do. We know the work they put into their team. Orlando Pirates seem to have hired a very good coach in Jose Rivero, who, also seems very tactically astute. You can see the pattern of play he's producing with the Buccaneers. It was borne out in the results last season, albeit that they didn't really mount a title challenge. They won the MTN 8. They won the Nedbank Cup. They were, the closest challengers to Sundowns in the end. So is it enough for Chiefs to bring in Ntseki, or is there a feeling here that this is a knee-jerk reaction? I mean, there's also been talk I've seen on social media that they just couldn't afford the Tunisian Naby in the end. So they've gone for the, you know, I mean, Sheikh Mashaba had to deal with this a lot as Fofana head coach, but he didn't like it at all. But it does seem a bit like Chiefs have gone for the cheaper option here.
You know, like everybody else, I was shocked as well, John T. I mean, like Spoh said, we were all expecting, you know, Kaizer Chiefs to bring on the Tunisian guy, Naby. But now, you know, with all this talk and the rumors about, you know, the club now not having, you know, enough money, you know, to afford a coach, you know, it's something else. But again, there are also rumors that, you know, Naby wanted to come with his own technical team. And, you know, the Chiefs management wanted to keep Zwane, you know, as part of the technical team as well. You know, yes, he didn't do well, you know, last season at the club, but they still have that, you know, respect for him, and they still have, you know, have hope and faith that, you know, one day, you know, he will be the one who will be the head coach again at the club, you know, to carry Chiefs and take them to new heights, because they believe that he knows the club very well. But for, you know, seeing Ntseki being the head coach of Chiefs now, for me, you know, I mean, this is a guy who doesn't have, you know, experience in club level. You know, I mean, he coached junior teams. He coached the under 17, a South African team for some time. You know, he went to Bafana Bafana, which was very disappointing. He was the TD at Chiefs, you know, looking after the development and all of that, you know, overseeing what's going on at the club. And, you know, for me, I think he also failed as well, because I think he could have been the one who could have helped, Afa Zwane, you know, to achieve a lot of things at the club. So getting him, giving him this post, for me, I think it's a big blunder. And I think, you know, for the hope of a club and for the hope of a fans, you know, something really works out for him, because a lot of people are not really happy with, you know, this appointment.
Yeah, certainly not. If you looked at social media last night specifically, I saw a few resignation letters from Kaizer Chiefs supporters that were quite interesting.
They're not happy. I mean, yeah. even the club's website even went out.
The club's website crashed, but it crashed. The Chiefs website tends to crash when they announce anything big, so they could have announced Mourinho as head coach, it would have crashed. You know?
But I think, again, it was all about people being shocked about the whole news, because they thought it was a prank or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem, it was really came out of the blue a little bit. Nobody really expected it. Chiefs doing their usual thing of announcing something.
And you know what I saw this morning? Somebody went on Wikipedia and edited Molefe Ntseki's profile. There's a line there that says, the entire thing before he becomes the Kaizer Chiefs head coach, it says Asazi Sonke, which means we all don't know. And suddenly he's announced as Kaizer Chiefs head coach. You know, they put the years. From when he was born to when we Asazi Sonke, this year to that year, Asazi Sonke, until June 2023, he's Kaizer Chiefs head coach. That's how frustrated they are, because
I get that.
He came from Norway.
Slightly disingenuous, and I mean, we all know he was coach of the under-17s. He was coach of Bafana Bafana. We all know he worked with the national teams, but I get it. It's really kind of like, he doesn't have any experience, as far as I know, with like club football coaching in the DStv Premiership. So maybe he'll turn out all right. But
was an assistant coach at Celtic a few years ago.
But that's
You know, not to take away anything away from him, you know, he does have the football brains. No lies. I've heard him speak a lot of time. He does have a football brains. He coaches very well. And yes, like Bo said, you know, that father figure thingy, he does have. But you need to have both, you know, have a balance. Be technically good, know what you're doing, you know, and be there for the players as well.
Yeah, I think the nice guy thing in football is kind of, you know, it's a thing that you have to, you know, you can be like a father figure, but like you say, you have to, I mean, you've got to be really up to speed with, you know, tactics, with the physical conditioning of players, because the way Sundowns are run, I mean, you know, they've probably still got plenty of work to do, but they, you know, they're a well-oiled machine, and to compete with that, you've got to have someone who's, I don't know, for me, a little bit more experienced in club coaching. And Ntseki ultimately failed with Bafana Bafana. He didn't get them to the AFCON, and it was the easiest AFCON to qualify for. It was 24 teams.
How long was it?
I'm not sure exactly off the top of my head, but it was
Bafana Bafana?
Yeah, I mean, long, it wasn't two years.
Yeah,
almost two years. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can look at his Wikipedia entry. Maybe it has the answer.
And the thing is that if he had somebody experienced in the Kaizer Chiefs bench with him, the thing is, Arthur Zwane is also inexperienced. Dylan Shepherd is inexperienced. You know,
yeah, I mean, Shepherd and Zwane have overseen trophyless season after trophyless season, whether as an assistant or caretaker or whatever. Yeah. So you can't really say they are the people to be even be in Nseki's ear. And how much, you know, Gavin Hunt was there. Look, they've had top coaches or in the PSL sense, like Stuart Baxter, like who haven't worked out either recently. Yeah. Baxter obviously worked in his first spell, but you got to ask, like, you know, Zwane, you know, was said to be not at a little bit at loggerheads with Hunt, or a little bit part of the problem when Hunt was there. I mean, Hunt's response when with this tweet he sort of sent out and deleted last night, was it aimed at Arthur Zwane being demoted? Was it aimed at the choice to appoint Nseki? You know, there's something there, although, you know, obviously after Chiefs played SuperSport last season, Hunt denied there was anything, but there's something there, let's be honest. There is,
because I remember the way Hunt celebrated in that game when he beat Arthur Zwane, in that game where the fans threw missiles at Zwane. You could see it was saying something, you know. The way he celebrated, he hardly celebrates like that. He went wild. He did go pretty much ballistic. And we hear that before the game, they didn't shake hands.
There was talk of that, and you know, Hunt denied it. But yeah, there was something going on.
Yeah.
I put out a tweet after this announcement saying Kaizer Chiefs are the weirdest club I've ever dealt with, and I just want to expand on that a bit before we move on. We'll move on to Pirates' new signings, but. You know, I was asked on Twitter to expand on it, but I can't. I don't really like Twitter as a form of communication. It's too blunt, so I'm going to try and do it here. Kaizer Chiefs, for 23 years I've covered them, have made some utterly bizarre decisions. I mean, that don't make any sense, and that you look at and you go, okay, for a big club that needs to have direction, that's supposed to have direction, what are they doing? I mean, their appointments are often come out of nowhere. They, you know, in terms of dealing with them as media, we could do a whole podcast on that. They don't want you to interview their players exclusively. They want to control. It's almost like they want to control the narrative of their own existence. And they are a very successful football club. I mean, they're a very well marketed football club. But on the field, they haven't won a trophy in 8 years, and you'd think they'd be doing more to appoint people, even if from the outside. For me, I mean, the fact that Kaizer Motaung Jr. is the director of football. I mean, he was a player. You know, I just don't see it as like you've got to bring in someone if you want to challenge the likes of Sundowns. You've got to bring in someone with more experience in a sporting director role. You've got to bring in a coach that has more experience. You can't just give a guy a job as head of technical and youth and then decide, no, he's the man now to lead the first team. It's shambolic for me. Yeah. I don't, you know, and odd because it, you know, I know that Kaizer Motaung himself is a very intelligent and Kaizer Motaung Jr. I'm not casting aspersions on his intelligence. He's a very bright guy and, you know, he's obviously very much behind the Chiefs. I just want someone with more experience in there if I was a Chiefs fan. I just feel like it's a family business and it's not, but they need more help and they're not utilizing that help. And it's because they want to control everything. And this is to expand on that for me. This is why that this sort of talk that, you know, that they got annoyed because their coaches they were talking to talk to the media, right? Now, ordinarily I would sort of dismiss that and go, but why would that be a reason for not hiring someone? But with Chiefs, it just doesn't surprise me because it's almost like they want to control player interviews. They want to control their whole agenda with appointing coaches, with signing players, whatever it is. They want to be in charge, and it just doesn't work in a competitive sense. It doesn't work. So either they want to be a serious football club or they want to be the most popular football club in the country, and they probably will be forever, and no one will ever debate that. But not a serious football club. Kaizer Chiefs, for me, are not a serious football club. They do not have a proper plan. They do not have a proper direction. They do not have a proper system in place to to be a successful football club. That is my current philosophy on Kaizer Chiefs.
It is disappointing for a team of their caliber with all the resources that we have, you know, the sponsors and all of that. I mean, like, you go to the village and you feel like, oh, this is a very, very serious club. I mean, like, anyone who would come out of the country and come to the Kaizer Chiefs village will be thinking, this is the most successful club. Yes, yeah. And we are winning trophies every season, yeah. But which is not the case at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, the thing is, like you say, with the sporting director, the problem is that he's also part of the board, a member of the board. So he has to think about the finances as well. He has to think about saving all the time, making more money for the club than, you know, making decisions that will help the football team become better, you know. Because you have somebody like Khumbulani Kong who's out of a job. He was doing an excellent job at Celtic. You could hire him in that role. You know, he comes from outside. He will tell you what to do. He will not think about the finances that much. Yes, he will know that he needs to cut out here and there, but he will come with plans that are better. And he knows that if he makes a mistake, nobody's going to cover him. He's going to be outed for making that mistake. He can account for his mistakes. But if you're a KZM Taung Jr. and you make a mistake, oh, well, guys, okay, swept under the carpet, we move on. It's kept between the family, you know. So it's not going to work until they get people from outside, you know, and who will tell them that, okay, guys, after 8 years, we need, I'm not going to say Ntsegi is not a proper coach, but you know, you need somebody that will bring the confidence of the fans as well. That will bring confidence in the players, because these players are seeing what the fans are saying. They are hearing what we are saying, and
exactly.
You know, they need somebody that will have some sort of authority because of his experience and what they have achieved. Not somebody that is an experiment.
You need to bring in someone who has the CV to do that job, right? It's no good just appointing Kaizer Jr. because he sounds good and because he's in the family. I mean. Mm. If you look at who Sundowns have as their technical director, this guy Flemming Berg, right? He was head of elite football development at the Danish Football Association for 7 years before they signed him.
It's now that's a CV.
Yeah, that's a CV that tells you this guy is a good guy to bring in.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to look at that, and you've got to build a business if you want to be serious on the field of play. You know, off it, the brand Kaizer Motoeng did a fantastic job building that brand. It's the most successful brand in South African football, and it will probably always will be. Yeah. But there's no direction to the on the field planning. And you know, Kaizer Jr. was, you know, all behind Project Arthur Zwane in the last season. Now this season, you know, okay, maybe Zwane,
yeah.
Maybe it can change. You know, Zwane obviously didn't rubbed up some players the wrong way or whatever. But now what? Malefi Ntseki comes in. I just don't see
because
how it's going
to
go.
You will not account to anyone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He needed to explain why they're changing Zwane. Because towards the end of the season, they were saying, no, they still believe in Zwane.
Mm.
But what's changed?
Mm.
What's changed?
Mm.
Because if you look at it, finishing fifth in your first season as a coach is not bad at all.
And again, if you have to look at the previous seasons.
Because the mandate was you are rebuilding the team. Mm. You are starting the team from scratch because they said that the previous coaches had taken the team in the wrong direction and they wanted Zwane to put it back in the right direction.
Mm.
Okay, so explain to us what went wrong then. What did he not do? Because just 2 games to the end of the season when the fans were getting violent against him, you said you still believe in him.
Mm.
You still fully behind him. Then suddenly you're speaking to other coaches. You are not saying anything. And then, boom, you announce a new coach. And it's another experiment because... Mm. He doesn't have the CV to say, okay, if he fails, oh, then it's bad luck. But if he succeeds now, we might say it's luck because we've never seen him anywhere succeeding, you know, as a head coach, as a standalone coach. Yes, he was there when Celtic won the Telkom knockout as assistant, but he was just an assistant there. So we can't give him that credit. So,
yeah,
it's another year of heartache for Kaizer Chiefs fans. Yeah.
I can't see any other way. Maybe Malefi Ntseki, who's a gentleman, who's a very nice guy, who it does speak, as Seppo said, very intelligently about the game and comes across very well. Maybe he can do it. I just don't see it with respect to Ntseki and to Chiefs. I don't see how it's going to work. Right. Orlando Pirates are the other team in the news this week in a major way. They've announced a host of new signings. Seppo was on that story. Seppo, which of the new signings stands out for you, or which one or two or three of them stands out for you?
I'm quite excited to watch Patrick Masangwanyi. Patrick Masangwanyi, he played in Portugal for about, you know, a couple of years, you know, Oliveirense, you know, very difficult to pronounce those names. But he has done very well. I think he was at the Stars of Africa Academy as well before, you know, leaving, for Portugal. I mean, he didn't spend much time at SuperSport. He just came in last year. And, you know, to see Pirates, you know, signing him, it says a lot about his talent. He's a very good player. I don't want to lie to you. He's a very good player. I've seen him. I've seen and some of his, you know, YouTube videos, you know, playing in Portugal. So he's quite an interesting player. So I'm not going to give the likes of Vincent Bule, you know, and Salenge, you know, a run for your money for, you know, for a place in the starting lineup. And again, a lot of people will remember Sipelo Baloni, you know, when All Stars played Pirates in the I think last 16th round of the NedBank Cup. Mm. Baloni was one of the standout players in that All Stars team. You know, he's very creative in the middle of the field. You know, he's, you know, defends very well, very good player, you know, and has a very good vision of passing the ball. So, you know, I think we got some, you know, decent players. I think even the signing of Melusi Buthelezi, you know, I think Melusi is someone that Pirates needed, because again, we all know that, you know, there are rumors with, you know, regarding, you know, Richard Ofori, you know, not extending his stay at the club because of the negotiations are not going well. You look at Siyabonga Mponchani as well, who, I mean, he's old now, and I don't think, you know, we're going to keep him in the club because he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been playing for a long time now. And we recently parted ways with the youngster goalkeeper, Gopado Tunzani. So I think we got themselves some very good players, you know, very decent players, and, you know, they will add depth in their squad. And that's what we need, because we'll be playing the CAF Champions League next season.
Okay. So, where is Batsusi Obas? We saw in the Bafana lineup Batsusi Obas, Orlando Pirates. But I didn't see him in that list. Where's Batsusi Obas?
I mean, Tim Sukazi put his foot down on that one.
Tim Sukazi was very upset.
He was very upset.
I was expecting Batsusi Obas.
We actually discussed this on the podcast last week. I thought it was... Sabonga said he understood why Tim Sukazi was so upset. I thought it was making a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, somebody at... In Bafana admin made a mistake. That was it, really.
Yeah, no, the team manager did a really, really huge blunder there. You know, Tim Sukazi wanted to see, you know, his team's name on the
side.
Yeah,
no, sure, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, he got his apology, and he said it's all in the past now.
So. And especially because that was a good win, and Opus had a very, very lovely game. Everybody was just speaking about him after the match. So, you know, everybody wanted to speak about Opus of TS Galaxy.
But I think he was spoken about mostly because... he was Batsusi Obas of Orlando Pirates. And because there had been rumors before the game that he had signed for Orlando Pirates. Yeah. And the Orlando Pirates supporters were excited to see him. And when he did so well, they thought, oh, okay, we signed a good player.
He also had an excellent game.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah.
He was very good.
Because if he had been Batsusi Obas of TS Galaxy, I don't think there would have been that much hype if there hadn't been that rumor that he had signed for Orlando Pirates, because he had caught attention and it was reported that he had signed for Orlando Pirates and people wanted to know more about him. And fortunately for him, he's dead Bafana Bafan and he's doing well, and the supporters are getting excited that this is the kind of player we want.
And the Kaizer Chiefs fans were very upset with the Otlanisa signing to Pirates, because they all expected him to come at Chiefs.
So that's another thing with Chiefs. From their fans to management, they think players still believe, still want to play for Kaizer Chiefs.
Mm. You know?
But it's changed.
I remember some do.
I remember in 2017 when I spoke to Thapelo Morena, just before he was leaving, he was rumored to be talking to Chiefs and Sundowns, and he told us, he asked, why would I want to go to Chiefs? Because there's more pressure there, there's no time to adapt, the fans demand results now, and they're not going to allow you to adapt. And so he chose Sundowns, and he, look at him now. I'm just thinking that had he chose Chiefs, he wouldn't have all the medals he has now, and he'd probably have been released by now, and, you know, so... Chiefs is no longer that attractive to players. Mm. Yes, for the hype, if you want to be famous, you want to be known, well-known, but, you know, that's why they're attracting average players, because the team is full of average players that we must not hide. They need to know that some of those players, you wonder how they made it to Kaizer Chiefs, you know.
And I'm sure right now what's going on in every Chiefs fan, it's, you know, we're just thinking about, are they are they going to, you know, sign more players, or what's going on? Because now we are anticipating to see, I think, more players coming into the team. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, at the moment, I don't see any player who might be going to Chiefs, who maybe previously, you know, did very well in the DFT Premiership. Or, anyway.
So can we talk?
Yeah. It's only Ron Human who they are talking to, because that Castillo guy, you know.
Well, Chiefs, they've signed Pule Modi, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Pule Modi, but
they signed the clock away from SuperSport.
Yes. Mm. Both of their signings, but you know, I think the fans are still expecting
that
McKee more.
Signing, you know,
yeah,
a player that will bring confidence, you know, that will come like Keegan Dolly did.
Exactly.
You know, you need that kind
you
of player.
You are saying McKee signing, sure.
That will come with, you know, the support, you know, and that confidence to come and be a star. I think Rowan Human, yes, he was playing for a smaller team, but he did well. He can carry a team, but we don't know if he can do it at a big club.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, all these players.
Or Ranga Chivaviro.
All these players are not Stonehenge, but then again, Chiefs have signed marquee names and they haven't really done very well for them. Karma Biliat, you know, Dolly is at a mixed time. You know, these guys like Ramalwe, Mbakhlele, Mix, Time, you know, they haven't necessarily done exceptionally well for them. So maybe they're better off with lesser names. I just want to touch on Otla Disa before we finish off. He's obviously a talented player. We've all seen him play for Marumo Gallants, a lot of skill, but he didn't score a single goal last season. an attacking midfielder who hasn't scored a single goal. I always go like, yeah, he's got skill, but where's the end product from Otla Disa? Is it fair? It's fair, I think, the question there. Yeah. He's not, I mean, if you look at his sort of stats over the seasons, he doesn't score many goals. He may be.
But he gets involved in most of the goals that, you know, Marumo Gallants played. You know, I even remember, you know, the last couple of matches that they played in the CAF Confederation Cup, you know, he was always there. He was always there, Jonty. You know, he gets involved and, you know, he's a player who would give you something out of nothing. So, hence I think, you know, he's a great signing for Pirates and he will probably score more goals at Pirates.
Well, I think Rivero has got the best out of Pirates attackers and he's 26 now at Otla Disa, so it's a big contract for
him.
He's not very young, Tepo. Can
Jesus
we just
Christ.
Put this behind us?
Okay, the guy should really be very young.
Peak of our career now.
Stop calling players very young when they're 26, please. Stop.
He still has about five, seven seasons to play.
Yeah, sure. But he is not very young.
We are in South Africa, remember?
Yeah. 17 is very young. Mbappe got his debut when he was 17 or 16 even. I don't even know.
You can say Relebogile Ratomo is it Mofokeng now? That's a very young player.
He's a teenager.
That's a young player. Not
Otla Disa.
Okay, he's 26.
I'm saying he's kind of in his last big contract. If it goes well for him, he may even get, you know, another chance, you know, to shine at another club or continue with Pirates. But this is sort of a big chance for him. At a big club. So let's see how he does. I wish him good luck.
And I think he can shine.
And Seppo thinks he can shine. And I'm sure, like, you're right. If he contributes to the attacking setup, maybe Rivero will be able to get the best out of him in that regard. And Pirates need the squad because obviously they're competing in the Champions League next season. So they need as many players as they can. He also has that, as you mentioned, continental experience that Pirates are probably looking at as well. Okay. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks to Seppo. And Sibonga Seni, as always, for coming in. You can please like us on Facebook at Pakati with 3 A's. Follow us on Twitter at Pakati, also with 3 A's, and get your copy of Pakati, of the Pakati supplement, free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. Do enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.